What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Moderate Podcast for Sunday, February 28th, 2021. Glad to have you this week. Glad to have you with us this week, as always. And we are recording even later. I had mentioned that recording later than I had liked to last week. Boy, that was nothing compared to this week. Recording almost 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time here on the West Coast. And 6, almost 7 o'clock p.m. And it's for a variety of reasons. Nothing bad, nothing happened. You know, just got busy today. And it just ended up being the best way to do the show. So here we are. So we've got a lot to get to in today's program. I want to talk about CPAC, and basically they should just change their name to TPAC. Although there is some question as to whether that is really the case, but we'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit. I did want to talk a little bit about the whole Andrew Cuomo situation, and there's a couple of other things I want to talk about as well. So let's start out actually with this situation between with Anthony Cuomo. So obviously, you know, Anthony Cuomo, his star has fallen quite a bit lately. You know, this time last year, maybe a little bit less than a year, you know, than a year ago, he was becoming the absolute darling and the model of how a state's response to COVID should be. I don't know how that is, because his state had the biggest numbers, but he became, you know, he got awards for it and blah, blah, blah. And it seems as though that this may have gone to his head a little bit. And it further seems, because of the whole scandal with the reporting of numbers from nursing homes, that maybe some of that credit was not deserved. I mean, even back in 6 months ago and or more, he was being criticized for just shoving seniors back into nursing homes and them getting, you know, infected with COVID and dying, because that is the most vulnerable population when it comes to COVID. So, you know, if it hadn't been for that, our death count may have been less. I mean, it still would be up there, but it may have been less than it is now. So, you know, all that adoration that he got, I'm not sure how much of that was really deserved. And now these numbers make it come into question even more. Then this week you had another thing come out, and this, just based on how he is and the kind of guy he is, these sexual harassment claims should not be too surprising. Now, you know, one of the things I've been seeing a lot on conservative Twitter is that the media is not going after him. They're not going after him. Democratic politicians are being silent on the issue. You know, they have no problem going after people like Brett Kavanaugh and even Donald Trump, but they will not go after Andrew Cuomo. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I've seen it reported on all the major news sites, including those on the left, CNN, MSNBC. And he's being called out by members of his own party. So to her credit, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is calling for the state legislature to investigate the quote-unquote extraordinarily serious sexual harassment allegations leveled against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo by his staffer, Lindsay Boylan. And subsequent to this article coming out, there was another allegation. I don't have the name in front of me, but there was a second person that has come forward, a woman in her 20s. And so in some of these allegations are, you know, the one from the second woman is actually within the last year. I mean, it was after he was going through all this COVID stuff. It was, I believe in June of last year. So it's very recent. And then the allegations for Boylan probably go back a few years. So she was the former Deputy Secretary for Economic Development and a special advisor to Cuomo. She's currently running for for I think president of the New York or the Manhattan borough. So, you know, you have councils from each of the boroughs in New York City, and then of course you have the mayor, who is Bill de Blasio. And Bill de Blasio also is going after Cuomo on this. Now, that's not too surprising. Even though he's a Democrat, they still do butt heads. And so, you know, de Blasio and Cuomo, there is no love lost there. So, of course, you know, personal politics, sometimes Trump party politics in this case. But, you know, apparently back in October of 2017, allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly, that Cuomo had remarked to Boylan that he wanted to play strip poker with her. She described an encounter in December of 2016 that Cuomo arranged through a handler to meet her in his Albany office, and she agreed reluctantly. She said he gave her a tour of his office, smirked, and showed off a cigar box he was given to him by former President Bill Clinton while he served as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. Boylan said she interpreted that to be an innuendo referencing the affair between Clinton and his then intern Monica Lewinsky in the mid-90s. She said in another incident, this time in New York City, he kissed her on the lips. So another Democratic New York lawmaker, Senator Kristen Gildebrand, said she had not read the allegations against Cuomo. She added, well, obviously these allegations are serious and deeply concerning. Anyone has a right to come forward and be heard, to have allegations be investigated. Governor Cuomo also has a right to be heard, and he has come forward and has denied these allegations, but ultimately the decision will be up to the state. So after the second allegation came out, he called for an independent investigation. Now, he was being criticized even for that. I mean, on the surface, that sounds like a fine idea, but apparently the person they were going to have is still somebody that had close ties, not directly to him, but indirectly close ties to somebody that has close ties to him. And, you know, a lot of the people, even like AOC, are saying, no, that's BS. That can't, you know, you can't have somebody that you know, is going to be probably biased towards you. It should be appointed by the AG. So in this case, the New York Attorney General is Letitia James. And so she's reviewing a letter from state Republicans to investigate the allegations against Cuomo. Now, having said all this, obviously this is a serious allegation in both of these cases. And again, just knowing how this guy is, he's very arrogant. Guys that tend to be that arrogant, or at least act like they are, tend to have these issues, and they tend to have these kind of allegations come towards them. And they, because, you know, they get in, they have egos, they get into positions of power, and they just believe that women want them. Again, I, you know, as a man that, you know, I've obviously been married for a very long time. And so I guess maybe I just don't think about this anymore. But even in my single days, I never thought about treating women like that. I mean, that never even crossed my mind. I mean, I was intimidated enough by women, much less, you know, saying stuff like this kind of thing to them. You know, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I don't get the mindset. I don't get why men would even do this kind of thing. So it's really hard for me to comment on what the mindset of somebody like this is. But the other thing about it is, you know, the left and the Me Too movement has been very big on that. So it's good to see someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez come forward and say, this needs to get a serious look. And good for her. She's being consistent. And, you know, I think that when you know, sometimes it's easy to brush aside, you know, if it's somebody on your own team. You know, if it's somebody on the other team, it's really easy to go after them. And so, speaking of which, now apparently there is a call from state legislature Republicans to have an impeachment of Andrew Cuomo. Now, I'm not sure how that process works in New York. You know, I know that in California you can do a couple of things. You can do a recall. You can do I don't know if you can do an impeachment, to be honest with you. I don't know how that exactly works here in California either, but you know, apparently that's what they're calling for now, which is really, really interesting. So apparently the bar is much more stringent for the governor of New York versus the governor or versus the president of the United States. Because keep in mind that Donald Trump had many more allegations levied against him. Now, again, do we know what the validity of those claims were? I don't know if those were ever really vetted that much. And obviously, you know, that probably, you know, and Brett Kavanaugh had a couple of allegations levied against him, and he was being appointed to the Supreme Court. And, you know, Republicans are saying that was BS, but apparently now with Cuomo, it's something that we need to do. So, you know, we've talked about hypocrisy on this show, and this is another, you know, everyone's being hypocritical. I got to say most people are, except for AOC. You know, she's at least being consistent on this issue. So kudos to her. You know, does this rise to the level of being impeached from office? I don't know. I mean, we impeached Bill Clinton over something like this, but remember, he wasn't impeached for that part of it. He was impeached for lying about it. So obviously a denial of something happening is akin to a not guilty plea. That doesn't mean you're lying when you say, you know, when you go to make a plea in court and you say not guilty, right? That even if you are guilty, that there is no perjury charge for you pleading not guilty. So he's denying it in the media. You know, if he's being deposed by this, which I'm assuming eventually he will be deposed in some form as a result of these allegations, if it makes it that far, and he lies there, that might be a problem. That could be an issue. Now, the whole thing with the cigar box, that's kind of stretching it. But the kiss, that's pretty bad. And, you know, let's play strip poker. I mean, that is, if you've ever taken a sexual harassment course through your employer, that kind of thing is a big no-no. You don't talk about your sex lives at work with employees, especially people maybe you're not as friendly with. You know, I think those conversations do happen from time to time, and sometimes it doesn't rise to that level, but they always tell you, you know, if you do talk about that, you're opening yourself up to some charges. And so that's why employers are so sensitive to that, because usually the employers are also dinged in sexual harassment cases. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, I think that he's got some issues from him, and he's not going to have a lot of defenders on his own side, it sounds like, which is good. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, the Democratic Party, they've been big on this issue. So I think that they need to continue to stand with this and be consistent. Now, I think that if you had these allegations come up when his star was rising and he was getting all those awards, you may have had more pushback from the Democrats, but he was already starting to get in a little bit of hot water when it comes to the whole nursing home thing. So the fact that he's already been on his heels for something else, it makes him a little bit easier of a target, especially if he's on your own side, because it's not like he's some superstar right now. So that could play into the political side of things as well. So we're going to keep an eye on what happens with that. I didn't want to go into too many things that he said because it's kind of gross. Now, kind of as an aside real quick, there was an article in BuzzFeed talking about Madison Cawthorn. And so, you know, they're like, well, what about him? You know, in these allegations, you know, if there's more than three, you know, they've interviewed more than three dozen people as part of investigation allegations that Madison Cawthorn harassed women in college. Now, here's the thing. Men in college are pigs, okay? You can't compare, if you want to, you know, and it's interesting that this is coming out now, right around the same time that the allegations against Andrew Cuomo are coming out. It's like, well, look, there's somebody on the right doing it too. The guy's 25 years old, and he was I guess you could say a typical college frat boy. I mean, that's what it sounds like he was. Again, rape culture on college campuses, it's a thing, and it's disgusting, and it shouldn't be happening. And you know, I wasn't in a frat when I was in college, and I don't think that probably will surprise too many people listening. But I knew people that were, and you know, this is they are, you know, men at that age are, you know, hypersexual, and that's what they're into, and that's why some guys go to college to see how many women they can get with, you know. And so this behavior is expected. Guys need to control it, and they need to not take it too far. I mean, in women shouldn't have to go through this kind of thing. So don't think that I'm excusing it, but there's a certain lack of maturity that men have at that age. And it's not, you know, and so, you know, people want to say, oh, it's boys are being boys. That's not an excuse. All right. Don't get me wrong. Okay. It's not an excuse to be able to behave like that, but it's simply explaining why it happens. Not that it's right, just why, you know. I think a lot of times we conflate those two things, and it's like, well, by explaining why, you're kind of justifying. It's like, no, I'm just explaining the biological piece of it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be responsible for controlling that. So I excuse the cat in the background because he's crying. I think I need to go feed him soon. So anyway, he's being accused of that, and you can't really compare the two, I don't think. And that's why this hasn't been really picked up as a huge story. I think that, you know, Andrew Cuomo is a grown man, and he's in a position of power, and he's using that position of power. That's the big difference here. So let's not make sure that we're equating those two things. I don't think anybody is, but just in case you start hearing about that and trying to change the story, just, you know, put into some context when you think about that. Is it bad that he did that kind of thing? Of course it is. But is it worse what Cuomo's accused of? Yeah, it is. Because not only is he's old enough to know better, and he's in a position of power, and he's using that power, the authority, to advance himself sexually, which is even more wrong, I think, than what Madison Cawthorn is accused of. So, anyway, there was a little bit of a rivalry between, a little bit of a spat between Representative Marie Newman of Illinois and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. So I'm going to play this clip from a local news story. This was an NBC5 in Chicago that carried this story. So check it out.
It is a major political story developing tonight, and it involves a controversy pitting Chicago Democratic Congresswoman Marie Newman and Republican Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. They are on opposite sides of a transgender equality debate that's getting personal. It's even sparked reaction from Capitol Hill all the way to Chicago. NBC5's Lexi Suter reports.
An incident between two congresswomen is gaining attention tonight. This comes after Illinois Representative Marie Newman placed a transgender pride flag outside her office in support of a new equality act and her own transgender daughter. But she was quickly met with opposition when her office neighbor, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, posted a sign that reads, "There are two genders, male and female. Trust the science."
What I wanted her to do was see the LGBTQ community and understand that equality is way overdue.
Congresswoman Greene stands by her actions.
Boys that want to call themselves girls do not belong in my daughter's bathrooms, in my daughter's locker rooms, on my daughter's playing field.
The House did pass the Equality Act today, and despite it being a win for the LGBTQ community, this incident still stings.
That was a shock to me, not surprising, but it was very disappointing to see. It's not just some political act, it's pure hatred.
Several leaders are speaking out against Congresswoman Greene, including Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Illinois Republican Adam Kinzinger, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
A sad event here even this morning, demonstrating the need for us to have respect. Not even just respect, but take pride in our LGBTQ community.
As for the Equality Act, it now goes to the Senate for a vote, and those on Capitol Hill say that may be a tougher battle. Reporting in Lakeview East tonight, Lexi Suter, NBC 5 News.
Now, here's the thing. Again, more hypocrisy going on. Now, they first of all, the seriousness in which they reported on this, and they make it sound like there was some kind of, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, but it made it sound like somebody was like hurt in this. Nobody was actually physically harmed in this story. I mean, it sounded very, very serious, you know, and it is. Don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, when it comes to these kind of things, I'm more liberal on these types of issues, because, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that still believe that the whole reason that this is happening is because the left is pushing people to be gay, pushing people to be transgender, and you see the numbers go up. And they explain it away by that this is the liberals, you know, coming out and pushing for this kind of thing. Now, really what the issue is that more people feel more comfortable coming out of the closet, you know, claiming and actually going out there and being who they really are, okay? And there is science behind being gay, even being transgender. Now, you know, when it comes to transgender people, that's where I think people have a harder time understanding the issue. But I think that, again, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where it's an individual choice. It's not even an individual choice. It's an individual expression of what you believe you are. And if you were to look at the DNA, and I have to imagine there's research going into this, because I've looked into, is there a quote-unquote gay gene? And from what I can read, they haven't there hasn't been come out with absolute certainty, but there is growing evidence that that is indeed the case, that there is a genetic something that happens with your genes that orients you, your sexual orientation, one way or another. And so obviously the vast majority of people are straight, and they are straight because their DNA, like I don't have to tell my brain to be attracted to women. I'm just attracted to women. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, maybe long, long time ago, if we have, but I don't think that a gay man comes out and chooses to be gay. It's like, well, I like women, but I'm going to go after men anyway. Like, why would you make that choice? And, you know, you see, you know, some gay men are very effeminate and, you know, they have that trait about them. And it turns out, oh my gosh, they're gay. Like, no surprise, right? So that's why I don't understand why it's such a, you know, a surprising thing when people, you know, it's like, there's a lot of people are like, oh yeah, well, I knew he was gay. You could tell, you know? And that's why I really, truly believe that it is genetic. There are genetics going on there. And I don't know if it's something that people carry or if it's something that's like a mutation or something like that. Because obviously, you know, nature is going to want men to be attracted to women and women to be attracted to men, because that's how you procreate and that's how you continue the human race. I mean, without that, we'd all be dead. If everybody decided they were gay and no one wanted to do, you know, IVF or whatever, then, you know, we would die out, right? I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, I think the transgender issue is a little bit more complex, and it's a little more complex for people to understand. But I don't want to go into that too much. The point of playing this is the sequence of events you have to understand. So they had the Equality Act debate on the floor of the House. And obviously, Marie Newman came out and was in support of it. And she talked about her own story and her daughter. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene made her statement on the matter. And then in response, because they're across the hall from each other, Marie Newman put a transgender flag out. Now, I'd never seen a transgender flag. I've seen the gay pride flag. I've heard of that one. But I've never heard of the or seen the transgender flag. So she put that in the hallway and made a big statement of it and actually showed that she was putting it across from Marjorie Taylor Greene. So she was making that statement. She fired the first shot in this controversy. But yet it made they went after Marjorie Taylor Greene for putting up the sign on her wall after that, because she obviously was opposed to this. She believes it is a choice. So the tit for tat really started with Marie Newman, but really the piece went after Marjorie Taylor Greene for feeling the way she felt. So if that's not, you know, the story didn't lie about anything. And that's when we're talking about this bias in the news media. It's not necessarily that they lied. They didn't. There was no lies told in that article or in that story. But the way it sounded, it vilified Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, if that's the case, if you feel like she's in a position to be vilified for her position, that's fine. But that's not up to the news media to decide for you. And the way that they report that and piece that together, you missed that. If you weren't really paying attention and you didn't really know, you wouldn't understand that Marie Newman put the flag out first. And she did it as a direct slap in the face to Marjorie Taylor Greene. So of course she's going to retaliate, because this woman is kind of out there. And so, you know, this is not someone that's going to take the high road ever, I don't think. So of course she knew she was going to react to that. And that's what she was trying to get that rise out of her. She baited her and she took the bait. That's just the bottom line. And the got what they wanted. The legislation passed. So what's the difference? By the way, I think there should be protections out there, the very least for homosexuals. You know, even transgender. I think that there's some biology there too, and it has to do with your genes and what you're, you know, and the estrogen versus testosterone thing, and that's what drives this. And the proteins that are being and the hormones that are being produced in the body are dictating that kind of thing. Okay. So that's where we are with that. Now, LeBron James, I was going to talk a little bit about this. I think I'm going to skip that LeBron James tweet. I think it's kind of dumb. Another example of this this thing with and boy, I'm really running out of time here because I still have an interview with my kids that we're going to have later on the show. Two articles about a Boston Advanced, let's see. So here's an article from thecollegefix.com. This is a conservative site. Boston Public Schools suspends advanced academic program due to racial equity concerns. So the Boston Public Schools will be suspending an advanced learning program for its fourth, fifth, and sixth graders because too many whites and Asian students are participating. So according to WGBH, Superintendent Brenda Casilius recommended a one-year enrollment suspension for what is known as the advanced work class due to COVID-19 worries and concerns about equality. Over 70% of the students in the program are white and Asian, despite the district being 80% black and Hispanic. The acceptance to the program is, or was, decided via third-grade test scores on the popular Terra Nova standardized test. Those who obtain the necessary scores are then put into a lottery for admission. And so they talk about why it's discriminatory. The overall future of the program is in the hands of the district working group, which is expected to make a decision by May. So no lies in this article, okay? But it is attacking it because it's basically saying that their concerns over equity are certainly not novel. Advanced programs for gifted students often are targets for either complete abolition or restructuring due to incorrect racial and ethnic demographics. So this is a conservative slant on the story. Now let's look at the actual article from WGBH. They leave out a few things. Again, these are slants by omission. One thing they didn't talk about that they did not mention in that first article I mentioned, new students will be admitted in the fourth grade by standards to be determined at the school level. Okay. So it's not like they're not going to take new students. No students will be admitted from fifth or sixth grades, but those already in advanced work will be allowed to continue. Now, that part where they said people that are already in it will be allowed to continue, that was actually said in that first article. But they did not mention the fact that they will be admitted in the fourth grade. So they're still going to be taking new kids just in the fourth grade. Based on their third grade tests. Now, obviously, taking tests last year was a bit of a problem because of coronavirus. So that's part of the problem that they couldn't, they were saying that the pandemic, you know, they mentioned both the pandemic and the concerns about equity. I think they're using the pandemic as a crutch, but it's a legitimate crutch just because they had, they basically couldn't really test the kids as well as they normally would. Because of coronavirus. Like my kids didn't take their standardized tests at all last year. My boys took it in third grade, but they didn't take them in fourth grade because school was out and the state decided to cancel them. Now, this year they will be doing that. And we're going to be talking to them a little bit later because they will be starting school in person starting this week, starting Tuesday. They're only going to be going for 2.5 hours, but nonetheless, they'll still be in school. And for the first time in almost a year, we're really, really close to the 1 year mark from when schools shut down. So, we're going to talk to them about that in a little bit. So anyway, there's another example now, this time on the right, you know, trying to paint public schools in a certain way. And yes, there was concerns that were stated by that, but they didn't completely stop the program. They are still admitting new students even. So it really isn't much of a suspension, not as much as they stated that it was. So anyway, CPAC, Mitt Romney, I read was pretty much banned from last year's CPAC. So the CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Conference. And normally it's held in Washington, D.C., but this year it was held in Orlando, Florida, because obviously, number one, they have Governor Ron DeSantis, who has really allowed a lot of the state to be opened up. And I did watch some of the CPAC, and it felt like, you know, you're watching this thing and you're seeing the people there. It felt like it was completely normal, you know. I think the county had some apprehension about no masks and there was going to be some enforcement, but there were very few, if any, masks. I don't remember if I saw any, really, to be honest with you. But there was a lot of anticipation in CPAC to see what exactly is the conservative movement going to do. Now we're post-Trump, or at least the post-Trump presidency, and how they would react to that, how that would look, and how the future of the Republican Party, the conservative movement, is going to look. Now, they had this gold statue. I don't know if you have seen this online, but they had this gold statue of Donald Trump. So, you know, he's basically business on top, party on the bottom. So he's wearing his, you know, customary dark navy suit, white shirt, red tie. And then he had shorts on, red, white, and blue, you know, with stars and stripes on them, these shorts, like basically board shorts, and then flip-flops. I can't imagine that Donald Trump has ever worn flip-flops in his life, honestly. I've never seen the man not wearing loafers or golf shoes. That, you know what I mean? Like, I can't recall that I've ever seen that. And the other thing that was weird about that image, I don't know, I never looked this up, but he was also holding a magic fairy wand, which was really weird. I didn't understand that. I don't know what that was about, but people were taking pictures with this thing, and it's just like, oh my gosh. And the conservatives are supposed to be the religious party. And talk about idolizing someone. I mean, they are completely forgetting certain parts of the Ten Commandments. I mean, you know, forget the Bible. You know, they're forgetting the commandments. You know, that's even more sacrosanct. So it's just incredible to me. And the adoration of Trump, it's just like, oh my God, these people are, it's baffling. Some of them still think he's president. Like, ah, I still recognize him as my president. Oh, okay. All right. You do you, boo. But man, the obsession and I don't understand it. It's crazy. These people are nuts. These people are nuts. I don't get it, man. It's crazy. So then he gives, you know, of course he was like an hour late for his speech, typical Trump. And even the commentators on a right-wing site I was watching it on even pointed it out that it's typical of him to be late. Like, oh, it's, you know, he's late, no big deal. You know, when Obama was like, oh my God, you know, with no respect for anybody's time, he's such an egomaniac, blah, blah, blah. Remember who was notoriously on time was George W. Bush. He was never late for anything. And you got to respect that, you know. But you know, fashionably late, Donald Trump, you know, typical. I don't know if he was caught out on the golf course or something. Who knows? But he gives like this hour and a half speech, and it was just more of the same BS. He says the same things. The only thing that was different is he had some commentary on Joe Biden's presidency so far, and he was, you know, the worst start to a presidency in modern history, he called it, and he was pointing out about different things, and, you know, talking about how he said one thing at the debate and has done a completely other thing. He's been way more liberal. Now tell that to the progressives, they're pissed at him too. So it's, you know, he's pissing, you know what, that is the one thing I will say for Joe Biden is he's pissing everybody off. So that means he's probably doing a pretty damn good job, because he's pissing off the conservatives just because he's there. So no matter what he does, even if he said, all right, I'll do everything you guys want, they'd still be finding a way to be pissed about it. Meanwhile, you've got the progressives on his side, the Bernie Sanders, the AOCs, the squad. They're pissed that he's not doing enough to push the progressive agenda. He has done some things in terms of the environment and things like that, you know, rejoin the Paris Accord and cancel the Keystone Pipeline, things that, you know, environmentalists have been calling for and, you know, you would expect a Democratic president to do. Doesn't mean it's right, but no one should be surprised that those kind of things were happening. But he still hasn't done nearly enough for them, right? But other than that, he was saying the same thing. He's talking about the typical boogeyman, bragging about all his accomplishments. Some are real, some are made up, some are just grandiose things and, you know, very general, you know, speaking generalities. I'm the best, Biden's the worst, you know, I'm the best ever, Biden's the worst ever, those kind of things, blah, blah, blah. It really didn't break any ground. You know, he did say that it was fake news, that he was going to start his own party. He goes, why would we do that and split the vote? At least he understands that part of it. But the interesting thing is that he only got like 55% of the straw vote in at the conference. Now, you know, that sounds low. I mean, I think it was lower than expected. But the bottom line is that he still has the majority of the movement. And if he does decide to run in 2024, he's still going to probably be the front runner. And he's going to crush anybody that goes after him. But you know, I think in terms of his help that he would be giving at the congressional level in 2022, I don't know how much that's going to help, because, you know, they're talking to, you know, and then he talked about election fraud a lot. Obviously, that's something he's not going to give up on anytime soon. Not surprising. But, you know, I don't know, man. I just, this guy is just this egomaniac person that can't get over himself. And he never will. And I hate that, you know, I thought that we weren't going to be able to have to talk about this guy anymore. But I think in this case you had. So where does that leave the Republicans? You know, one of the big questions we asked was, once the inauguration of Joe Biden happened, that's going to be the identity check. Well, Mitch McConnell came out this week after blasting the president and the president blasting him back, that if he's the nominee, he'll absolutely support him. And that just shows that it's all about party. That's it. It's all, it's all, you know, I will support whoever our nominee is, basically is what he's saying, you know, in so many words. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they say. If, you know, he, you know, I don't care if he's, you know, started, you know, inspired an insurrection at the Capitol. You know, as long as if he's the Republican guy, I'm with him. I'm with him 100%. And so it is, you know, everyone is about party over anything else these days, unfortunately. So it does show that. But, you know, at least the CPAC, which is obviously very influential on the Republican Party, has gone farther to the right. And they've abandoned mainstream conservatives, guys like Mitt Romney, guys like Mitch McConnell even. And so they've abandoned them, and they've basically embraced the fringe of their movement. And that was the thing that the Democrats looked like they were going to be in trouble of doing. And so, because you have the Bernie Sanders and the very progressive socialist wing of the Democratic Party wanting to do the same type of thing. And so, you know, why has that happened where we've actually gone further apart? You know, we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks when we had Ross Benish on 2 weeks ago. And then we, you know, even last week I talked about it. We've talked about how the parties are changing and the party, there's infighting going on. And part of it is because these fringes are getting bigger and bigger voices. Now on the Republican side, they've made more headway, especially getting Donald Trump as the nominee. Part of that was because the establishment candidates fractured themselves too much. What happened with the Democrats, they recognized right away that we need to whittle this thing down quickly before we do have a Bernie Sanders. Because if Biden continued to struggle and they didn't have a quote-unquote more mainstream, moderate, relatively speaking, to Bernie Sanders candidate, that they were going to be in trouble. I think that they realized that they need to have somebody that's going to be able to get the middle. And, you know, somebody like me that's in the middle, probably a little bit middle right, didn't want to vote for Biden, but I sure as hell wasn't going to vote for Trump. And so down ticket, I did vote for Republicans. Obviously, the top of the ticket, I didn't. And that's why you saw what you saw in the elections. Again, it's perfectly rational to believe that Republicans did better than Trump did because Trump was so polarizing. And so if the left went in that same direction, they're going to have the same issue. And they're still having that internal struggle. And it's going to continue to be so. And I think the progressive movement is actually going to continue to gain traction because they're looking at the Republicans going, oh my gosh, these guys are so crazy. This might be our time to strike because no one's going to go for that. Not realizing that there's another half of the country that looks at them as just as crazy. You know, they look at Donald Trump and the very, you know, QAnon and things like that and think that's crazy. But then there are people on the right, even just, you know, middle to right, that look at the left and look at them as just as crazy, you know, the socialism and all that stuff. So they don't understand that that's going to fracture the party just as much. And the people that are in the money, the people that are in the know, that really control, kind of pull the strings behind the scenes, they have them on both sides because money rules all. They understand that in order to keep their power, they need to keep the two-party system. But if each party starts going farther and farther left, it's just going to make it more difficult to keep that system in place. And that's what they have to be careful of. That's what they have to be careful of. So anyway, when we come back, I was going to talk about the stimulus bill too, but I'm not going to get around to it because when we come back, my kids are going to join us. We're going to talk to them. We're going to catch up with them because we haven't talked to them in a while. And we're going to talk to them about school. We're going to do a little coronavirus Mad Libs coronavirus edition when we come back. So stay tuned for that on the Moderate Podcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moderate Podcast on Anchor.fm.
This week's episode of the Moderate Podcast is presented by Away Travel. Travel hasn't been something we've been able to do much of lately, but that will likely be changing soon, and you're probably chomping at the bit to get out of town. That's where Away comes in. Quite simply, Away makes everything you need for your trip away. Away started with the perfect suitcase, then built from there, creating a range of travel standards developed from the travel stories of friends and seatmates. The pieces aren't smart, they're thoughtful, with features that solve real travel problems. To give the whole world access to better travel standards, Away took the direct-to-consumer approach to lower prices, and the quality is guaranteed. Your Away suitcase will be with you for life. We are teaming up with Away and Podgo to give you the best deal on premium luggage by going to podgo.co/away. That's podgo, podgo.co/away. Away Travel, here to make your journey seamless.
There's only two types of people in the world. And the ones that observe.
Welcome back to the Moderate Podcast, powered by AnchorFM. That song, I will explain why we played in with a Britney Spears song of all things in just a moment. But joining us right now, we have three guests to join us this week. And we've talked to them before. And if you're new to the program, we have a lot of new listeners lately. I do like to bring my kids on once in a while, and the reason we're doing it this week is because it's a pretty big week for them coming up, and so I wanted to talk to them a little bit about that, especially because of the fact that we have talked about this quite a bit on the show. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring on my kids. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
So, okay, I'm going to start with Jill, because it was her birthday. So she just turned 9 last week. So now my youngest is a halfway to being an adult. That's pretty crazy, huh?
Yes.
And yesterday, what did you do?
I had a dance competition.
For the first time in about a year, right?
Yeah.
So one of the songs that you danced to was that Britney Spears song, right?
Yes.
So that's why we use that as our kind of our intro back into the show. So that's Jill. And so how do you think you did?
Good.
Yeah. And when do you find out how well you did?
Tonight.
Yeah. So you have awards tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Tony. Tell us about Code Ninjas.
So basically, Code Ninjas is basically this is a little difficult to explain. So Code Ninjas is basically like there's a few things that you can do. So the first thing is the path. It's like a bunch of little coding challenges or maybe coding teaching. Like some of them, like you just follow instructions and understand coding and make a game out of it. Some of them, you start from nothing and use things in the stuff they can use thingy and build that game from scratch with the book. And there's also Prove Yourselves, which basically you're all on your own. You just have to complete a game and complete a concept. And, yeah, if you do it, you can move on.
What kind of programming language do you use?
We use JavaScript, and before you do JavaScript, which is the first thing you do Scratch coding, block coding.
Okay, all right. So, there's a lot to that, right? Because you can make all sorts of programs, not just games. You can make all sorts of things, right?
Yeah, you can make lots of things other than just games. JavaScript, basically, it's not block coding, like. It's hard to explain coding languages. There's a lot of them.
But it's just basically use text, though, to enter commands and have the program run different things and logic and things like that, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
So much coding.
So you're in Code Ninjas goes by a belt system, just like it is for like karate or something like that, right?
Hence the name Ninja.
Right. So you're what level right now?
I'm on orange belt. I only have one project and like a couple of prove yourselves in the way until I get to belt up to the next one, which I'm pretty sure is green.
Nice. All right. That's cool. Okay, Alex, how's it going, dude?
It's going pretty good.
So what is your big activity?
I do cross country running.
Yeah. And how quick can you run a mile now? What's your fastest mile?
It's 7 minutes exact.
That's pretty fast. Like that's impressive, because I think even when I was in the best shape of my life, I was probably doing like maybe an 8 minute mile. I might've gotten below 8 a couple of times, but I mean, I was a baseball player. So, but we did a lot of running as a pitcher. Like that's all you did the day after you pitched is just ran all day. So I did get a little bit of exposure to that, but not to the extent that you're doing, because you're running pretty much every day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So next weekend, what do we have going on?
Oh, I have a 5K race.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Yesterday we had a practice for just like getting used to the course and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty nice course.
So you pretty much ran the same course, because it's going to be out at that park, right?
Yeah, it's the same exact course.
Okay. Nice. That's cool. And then your last 5K, you set a personal record. What was your time?
I think it was 24:25.
I think that's right. It was over 2 minutes faster than your previous personal best, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was awesome. Okay, so all three of you now, obviously you've been on Zoom school for the last almost year now. I think March 17th was when school shut down, and it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah. So from that point to now, and obviously it's a little bit different now because you're at a new school, but how has Zoom school changed from when you first did it to how it's been more recently?
Ooh, what would you say? I'd like to mention something. So
yeah.
At our old school, like until we ended the fourth grade, which was at the end, of course, was the Zoom school, but we didn't actually use Zoom. Instead, we had Google Meet, and basically the teacher basically has like an hour or like two to explain everything about the homework today and answer any questions.
Mm-hmm.
You may have, and then you're all on your own to complete it until the end of the week. So it's evolved from being just like, hey, this is what you do and any questions. Instead, we do now, it's like an actual school day. And like, it was from the beginning of usual school to the end of usual school. Although that was the old school where, and also that old school.
And don't mention any specific names or anything of places or people. Names. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I kind of forgot what I was going to say. But, yeah. It was from, like, the beginning of a school day to, like, a few hours after the usual school day, and then the hours until the usual school day would end.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hours you can ask questions about the homework.
Right. And so now, but how...
now, it's like... we have, like, 2 hours of ELA and social studies and doing activities like that. Then a 30-minute lunch break, which is quite nice because we can go on another Zoom and call each other and play games. And then we can... then we do math, and then it's it for the day, math for 2 hours. So we have a much more shorter day now, but that means,
what does that mean? Does that mean more homework?
I can't really.
Well, I mean, to be fair, remember, you were only in the new school for like a month, and then you went off for a month because it's a year-round schedule.
Yeah,
and it happened
year-round.
To be,
I forgot to mention that one.
Yeah, so you were...
The old one was not year-round. So.
Right, so now you're going to go...
February off and then March on, and March is going to be the month we're starting physical school with masks on, of course, and making sure everything is heavily sanitized and nothing is going to have any chance of germs. There's a protective shield, I'm pretty sure, about around everyone's desks, and there's going to be no storage. You're only allowed to use your backpack for storage, which you'll take in and out of school and make sure it's hand, and make sure it doesn't have any germs on it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, now, Alex, how have you liked Zoom school? I know all three of you were really into and liked school before all this happened, right? How do you like Zoom school better, or do you like it as much? Like, how do you feel about it?
It was a lot. The only time I really like enjoyed Zoom school is the teacher we had in fourth grade. She did it really well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, your fifth grade teacher, your old school, did struggle with it. Yes, Tony.
That's probably because the teacher just assigned a bunch of work on every day, but the due date was the end of a week rather than the end of that day. So yeah, he can like do however much he wants to do on days. Like either he can have a fun day, then do all the homework of that day and that previous day, fun day, and maybe like that, or he could just do it like it's a normal school.
Well, when you were in person before, you would have homework every day that you'd have to do, right?
Yeah.
So did you like that better, that you got to kind of do your homework at your own pace?
It was really chill.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice. It was really nice because then I could like do homework, and if I like didn't do it, I always had the next day to do it.
Yeah. So Jill, you know, you being in two grades behind, how has Zoom school been for you? How did you like it?
I like it.
But would you rather be in person?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because my eyes hurt at the end of the day of school because we're on the computer.
Yeah, that's true. That definitely happens. Yes, Tony.
I also really, really want to be in physical school because then I can make friends.
Right, because you don't
have more chances of playing video games with people because I love doing that.
Well, yeah, and I know that you're in a more unique situation because your activity doesn't involve as much interaction with other kids. Like, you know, obviously, Alex, with your running, you know, you talk to your friends almost every day, and then. But it was great that I was even able to get the three of you in here because you guys do have social lives, it seems like, on the computer, of course. But you guys are still interacting with your friends, you know, quite a bit, right? Wouldn't you say? Yeah.
Yes.
And so anyway, all right. So how is your new school different then? And we kind of talked about this a little bit, but how is your new school different than your old school, Jill?
I don't know.
Okay, Tony. Tony is ready to talk. Wait. Sorry.
No, I know. I used to use Zoom, and we would also do it for like 6 hours a day. And now we only do it for like an hour a day, and we use Google Meets.
Yeah. And do you like that better?
Yes.
Yeah. Tony?
And one of the most obvious changes about our schools is about how it's year-round.
So yeah.
2 months on, 1 month
no,
off.
3 months on.
Oh, 3 months on, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so you go 3 months. So you're going to go March, April, May. Then you'll be off in June. And then when you come back in July, you'll be in sixth grade, which is just crazy.
That's
but we get a week off.
Right, you between. Do get a week off between because you have 4th of July there too.
Yeah.
And then obviously the teachers have to get ready for new students that are coming on. But because there are some kids that they'll go to school in June because they have maybe May off. They go to school in June, then they start in July and they have a week off and then all of a sudden they're in a new grade.
Yeah.
At least you'll have the month off before that.
Yeah.
So,
and, we also, the one thing that's different between our old school and new school is that me and my brother have two teachers.
Mm-hmm.
One would do, I think, math and science. The other would do ELA and history, I think.
Yeah. Is that what you're going to say, Tony?
Actually, another thing that's just completely random I'd like to mention. A school has multiple stories, which means Jill is going to be on the second story, so...
Oh, yeah.
Walk up some stairs.
Yeah, that's a kind of a, it's more of a new concept for us, because I didn't have two-story school until I was in high school. And I think that, I think the middle school and high school here have interior corridors, too.
There's no rain being in the way.
I'm not sure. We'll have to go walk around there because it's right across the street from our house. I can look out the window right now and literally see the football stadium right from right here, from where I'm sitting, right?
We don't need tickets anymore.
Right. We don't even need to get tickets. We can just watch from our window here. That'll be nice.
Another thing.
Whenever they actually get to play, of course, yeah. You know, there's that.
So, I was going to mention how it's across the street and they're all really close by.
Yeah, yeah. All three schools. They're all like right in a row, and so that's pretty nice.
Don't have to go in a car. We just have to walk there. So
right.
Some nice mileage.
Right, exactly. So, again, so Jill's excited to go back in person. Tony's excited to go back in person because he gets to make new friends. And Alex, not so much, right?
I'm just in between.
But, you know, here's the thing. I've told you this before. You meet people everywhere we go, and you make friends everywhere we go. Like when we've gone on vacation.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you made freaking you exchanged Fortnite.
No, Xbox.
Xbox. Well, users. to play Fortnite.
Yeah.
Right, but primarily. So you know you're not going to have any issues. You never do. But even still, you guys have each other still to start. And remember, I told you this last night. None of these kids have been in the same class, like as a class, for a year, right? So they may know each other through Zoom, but they don't know each other in person any more than you guys do. Yes, Tony.
So another thing I'd like to mention.
I don't know.
Ooh, I was gonna mention it. I'm just excited to wear my mustache mask because I like my mustache mask.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I love it. It's just a nice little mustache.
All right, so one of the things I've always wanted to do on the show with you guys is play Mad Libs.
Oh, God.
Oh, we have done it before, though, I thought.
Have we done it before? We might have. Well, I wanted to do a coronavirus edition. Now, this was... Granted, this was written back in March of last year. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So it's a little bit dated in terms of what it is, but it's the same concept. I wanted to do a back to school one, but it was the only ones I could find were like more traditional back to school. Like, oh, it's the fall, you're done with summer vacation, and now you're going back to school.
Oh,
so
yeah,
this is obviously a little bit different, right? So I wanted to do something more related to this. All right. So I'm going to start with Alex. Give me an adjective. Keep your freaking hands off this box of cookies. You can have it after the show.
Keep touching the box of cookies.
I know.
Adjective.
I want to touch it.
Long.
Long. Okay. Noun, Tony.
Cat.
Meow.
Okay. Verb ending in ing.
Running.
Okay. This is a good exercise, too, to get you guys back into like used to like thinking about parts of grammar. Alex, plural noun.
Mice.
Okay. Noun, Tony.
Ice. Rhyme.
Nice. Verb, Jill.
Dance. No dancing.
No, dance. It's just dance. That's good. Oh. Plural noun, Alex.
Muffins.
Okay.
Muffins are famous.
Tony, a celebrity. Like a famous person.
That's quite difficult. John Cena.
John Cena. Okay.
I can tell it.
Liquid, Jill. And remember, keep it clean. This is a family show.
Say apple water. Juice.
Ooh, apple juice.
Ooh, that sounds good, actually.
Apple juice is delicious.
I know.
All right. Past tense verb. Like something you did.
Eight.
Huh?
Eight.
Oh, eight. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it.
Number.
Food, Tony.
Cereal.
Cereal?
Yep. Yes.
Very well. Is.
Of course.
That's all I eat.
Jill, length of time.
A year.
Okay.
Because coronavirus has almost been around for a year.
Oh, no. Yeah. Verb ending in ing.
Coughing.
Okay. And finally, a verb ending in ing, Tony.
Exploding.
Okay.
That was a random one.
All right, here we go.
Oh, gosh.
Now, this was originally written for by a place in Pittsburgh, so I had to change some stuff. Like, they talked, instead of Pittsburgh, I used Los Angeles, instead of California, and I had put the name of our governor rather than their governor. So, the coronavirus has taken a toll on everyone, especially long people. In Los Angeles, restaurants are only allowed to serve cat. Musicians are running concerts online. Actually, that makes sense. All the mice are closed, so kids have to stay home and play games like ice. Last week, Governor Gavin Newsom gave another press conference where he asked Californians to dance their muffins. After watching, John Cena became so upset, he drank a whole case of apple juice. When that wasn't enough, he ate to clear their head, to clear his head. Finally, he broke down and ate a whole carton of cereal.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like a dream for Tony.
I would love to eat.
Hopefully,
that.
Things will return to normal in a year.
Here we are. Well,
and it looks like that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's not a year from now.
Right? Yes. From now, no.
Right?
No, yeah. No,
jinx it.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Don't jinx it, Daddy.
Yeah. Well, I know, right? Well, at least you're going back to school. It's starting to slowly get there, you know, at least, or, you know, got to look at it positively. If not, we'll just have to get used to coughing from home and exploding with friends and family on the phone.
That reminds me of a time. We were playing Among Us, and Among Us is fun. It was so fun and trying. Everyone was playing it. So, my friends are in a great argument on who is the imposter.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the imposter was sitting in a corner, and they weren't.
I think
I was there. Yeah, like we were like saying it was one of our friends, even though it was just him. He was talking,
exploding in each other's faces.
Another time you could be exploding with friends online is like when you're playing Minecraft.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I accidentally placed a pressure plate, and it was next to TNT.
Oh yeah, Tony, remember when I used like. World edit or something to make a giant thing of TNT and then blow up.
Oh, thank you very much for crashing Minecraft on my computer. Thank you so much.
Because you blew so much stuff up.
Yep.
Yeah, that takes a lot of graphics power when it does that. Yeah. But you have a gaming computer now, though.
It's a really good one.
Yeah, both of yours are pretty decent.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
If he did that on his old computer, it would just be die.
It would probably crash it. Yeah,
my computer withstood it very well.
Yeah,
good computer.
What are you doing, Jill? Jill's posing. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Anybody? Any last words, Jill?
I get to get my cookie. Oh.
Yeah, you get to get your cookie when we're done with the show.
You can't.
We're not
talk
done
anymore.
Yet. All right. Well, thank you for joining me today, guys. It's been a while, and so I'm glad to have you guys on. So good job. Every time you guys sound older, probably because you are older.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. And that is going to do it for the Moderate Podcast this week. Well, thank you for joining us. Happy birthday to Jill. Remember to visit our website at themoderatepodcast.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/themoderatepodcast and on Twitter at themodpodcast1. And we are on Instagram at themoderatepodcast as well. So, until next week, We're already 2 months through the year, through 2021. This year seems to be going by really, really quickly. And so until next week, as always, everyone, stay safe and keep it real.